facto law or law impairing the obligation of contracts or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
For the finest in home security, you want Fine Line Security, a family-owned business. They install, service, and repair any CCTV system, including DVRs. Free estimates are available. Free security evaluations, including the existing systems, emergency repairs, and loaner equipment. Call Scott at 303-550-8202. They also have lease options available for CCTV security. Always professional, neat, and excellent workmanship. Home automation wireless solution for doors and driveways also available. 303-550-8202. Fine Line Security.
Jambalaya's reminds listeners that each year many seniors are overlooked. Show how much you care this winter by offering a ride to a religious service, a trip shopping, or check and see if their heating system is up to par. Help protect our seniors and remember a senior today. That's Jambalaya's. Enjoy the specials listed on our complete menu. Open hours that are convenient, so stop by soon for a family treat. That's Jambalaya's, 109 Colorado Avenue in Marino. And mention this message for 10% off. Call ahead for large orders, 970-522-1117. Donna and staff love our elderly.
Back here at the American Freedom Network with us this morning is Pastor David Whitney, and we're going to be talking about the Constitution. The problem today is that most Americans don't understand the Constitution. They don't understand that a small group of wicked and evil people have seized control of our government, an invisible government. And these people hate the Constitution. Why? Because it limits their power, their ability to wage war legally, their ability to have America establish an empire throughout the world legally. Everything is done through deception. They do not want the American people to understand that this is a subversive element that has seized our government, and they're violating the very terms of the Constitution, of which many of them have sworn an oath to uphold. So we have to understand the Constitution. By understanding it, we will understand that most of what's going on today in our federal government is illegal. Our congressmen have sworn to uphold the Constitution, and then they've set out to violate the very oath that they've sworn by progressively expanding the power of the federal government under one simulated guise or another, the Sovereignty Clause and certainly the General Welfare Clause, none of which were to allow the federal government to expand their power, because if that was indeed true, then why did they have the Ninth and Tenth Amendment? And it was because the men who created this government did not trust other men with power. They didn't trust themselves with power because they knew what certainly has been written so clearly, that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, said Lord Acton. It was as true in that day as it is today. Pastor David Whitney, let's pick up our discussion of the Constitution of the United States, the one thing that separates our country from every other country in the world.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's always a privilege to be with you and to be with your listeners. Last time together, we were discussing the Fourth Amendment, which is our protection from the government searching us unreasonably or seizing any of our property. And this is all in process of an investigation where the government would claim a crime has been committed and they're trying to investigate that crime. Well, suppose they do conduct an investigation and then they go on to the next step saying, okay, we're going to charge you with having violated the law. Well, on the first level of that is our protection under the Fifth Amendment. The Fifth Amendment guarantees that we will have a grand jury for any infamous or capital crime. That is a crime that could result in a death penalty or a crime that would be a felony. A grand jury indictment is required for that crime to actually be tried in what we would call a regular court, where a petit jury would hear it. Now, a grand jury is designed by our founders to be a buffer between the citizen and the state. that their purpose was that nobody should have to go through the expense of a trial, or not to mention the trauma and of a trial, or the jeopardy where your life or liberty or property are at stake. Nobody should have to go through that unless a grand jury of common citizens determines that there is probable cause. They are designed to be a fact-finding body, and in essence, the grand jury's purpose is to be a check on government abuse of their power of arrest, their power of imprisonment, their power of putting you on trial. And the grand jury, sad to say, has been much watered down in our day, largely because citizens don't understand what the function of the grand jury is. When a grand jury is impaneled, they have absolute power independent of the court. In fact, I like what Justice Scalia has to say about the grand jury. He likens it to a fourth branch of government, and he does so with a good constitutional argument that it was not mentioned in the first article of our Constitution in the executive branch, nor in the second, the first article, the legislative branch, the second article, the executive branch, or the third article, the judicial branch. And so in essence, it's a fourth branch of government. It's not beholden to the court that called it into existence, or usually in county cases, it's the sheriff that calls up the grand jury, so it's not beholden to the executive branch. It is an independent branch of government, and once it is impaneled, it is free to investigate anything it chooses to investigate, including a whole list of things not given to it by the prosecutor. Usually, grand jury situation, the prosecutor has a lineup of cases that he's going to present before the grand jury and urge them to look at the evidence. And, of course, his goal is to see an indictment handed down. An indictment does not mean that the person being considered is guilty, and it's no statement about the guilt or innocence of the person. It's simply an indictment states that there is enough evidence here. The government has put together enough evidence that there is probable cause that a crime's been committed, and this ought to go to trial. So the grand jury never decides guilt or innocence. It simply decides, okay, we're going to let this move forward to an actual trial. And really, that's their purpose, that if the government's trying to cook things up, or the government has framed someone, which these days is happening all over the country, if this has taken place, then the grand jury can stop it right there and say, wait a minute, This is obviously an injustice being done to our fellow citizen. And so the grand jury should never just take whatever the prosecutor hands to them and say, well, the prosecutor's right. We look at the evidence the government has provided for us, and then we slam down an indictment and go on to the next case. No, they should investigate on their own. They should try to discern if the information being given to them is only one side of the story, which quite often is the case. You're only being told one side of the story, and they need to do the investigation on their own. Of course, in most situations, the prosecutor's never going to tell them that that's their duty as a grand jury. In fact, much of what they will hear in terms of the propaganda on TV about grand juries and so on, it doesn't help them at all in fulfilling this role to be a check against government tyranny. And indeed, there's a whole lot of sentiment in our country that, you know, the grand jury process has been so riddled with flaws that now it's just a rubber stamp, so to speak, of whatever it is the government wants to accomplish. That you hear the old joke about, you know, you could even indict a ham sandwich. A grand jury would indict a ham sandwich if it was brought up for, to them by a prosecutor. Well, don't let that ever happen to you. If you serve on a grand jury, be the one that says, no, folks, our job is to investigate, not just to accept one side of the story, not just to hear whatever it is the prosecutor wants us to hear. Instead, we're to do an investigation on our own. In fact, while we're at it, maybe there's some things the prosecutor hasn't brought to us. Maybe we could say it's a county case. Maybe we could force the county to open its books, and we, the grand jury, could investigate.
Hold on, we'll be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney here at the American Peace Investment.
Whether you're in
automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Your family deserves wholesome organic food, and you shouldn't have to drive across town or spend all of your hard-earned cash to get it. Door-to-Door Organics brings you fresh organic fruits, vegetables, and groceries delivered straight to your door at a price you can afford. It's simple, convenient, affordable, and healthy. For delivery throughout Colorado, Michigan, the East Coast, and Kansas City, go to DoorToDoorOrganics.com. For $5 off your first order, use the coupon code 1360. That's DoorToDoorOrganics.com. Eat better, shop less.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Dan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney. Pastor, go right ahead.
Well, that purpose of the grand jury to forestall an overzealous prosecutor is one of the things that American common law and English common law was such an essential part of that system that our founders built it right into the Fifth Amendment to our Constitution. And the grand jury is going to take an oath, and that oath usually requires them to return an indictment if probable cause exists. And as I said before, they really should never function as a rubber stamp for whatever it is the government wishes, but instead they should be the conscience of the community. Now, when they investigate any issue, they are free to charge what the government is proposing. In other words, say the prosecutor's got, okay, here's this case of this individual, and we're proposing that a felony charge be attached to this supposed crime. They're free to charge what the government has proposed, or they're free to charge something different. Maybe they say, well, no, we don't believe that this should be charged or tried as a felony. We think it should be tried as a misdemeanor. Or they're free not to charge at all and say, well, I don't believe there's a crime been committed here whatsoever. And when they come to their conclusion as a grand jury, they make a recommendation. That's called a presentiment, and it can be an indictment. That is, we're saying this should go forward to trial, or you could say no indictment is called for here. And oftentimes I think in the press it's the drum is beat that when the grand jury hands down an indictment, it's as if they've declared the person is guilty. No, never believe that lie. The grand jury has not said anything about the guilt or the innocence of the person and the crime in question. Instead, they've just said this should proceed toward a trial simply because there is probable cause that a crime was committed here. We're not saying that a crime has been, but just probable cause that there has been a crime committed. So that's the first element of our Fifth Amendment security of our rights. If you are arrested or charged with having committed a crime, if it's a capital or infamous crime, then a grand jury is your guarantee before you will go to trial. The second element there in the Fifth Amendment is that double jeopardy is prevented. That is, you cannot be tried twice by the same jurisdiction for the same offense. And this was a common practice of the king in England, that he wasn't able to get a jury to convict you for the crime that he thought you had committed or wanted to get you on for having committed. And so, well, you were, innocent, but then he'd impanel another jury and hold another trial and try you again and again and again until either he wore you out completely through that process, which is easily understandable. Going to trial is a very expensive and arduous process. Or he finally finds a jury that will convict you. And he's so kind of shopping for a jury. That is prohibited in our system, as our founders clearly recognize. That is blatantly unjust. That is an abuse by the government and a power we will not grant to our government.
Yes,
however,
of course, they get around that by saying, well, first we'll have the state try you, and then we'll have the federal government try you, and we will break you financially, and then we'll bring you up on criminal charges,
right,
and then we will bring you up on civil charges. So anything to get around the barriers that were put by the Constitution, because there really are evil and wicked people. We're not interested in justice. They're interested in destruction of the individual, and they do a great job, because you can certainly bankrupt people, you know, send them into eternal poverty, trying them for crimes they've never committed. But this is how the government can abuse its power.
And we should not stand by idly and let this happen. In fact, if we serve on a jury and we discover that these end runs are being done by the government against the person who's being brought into the dock in our the case that we're serving on, we can say to the rest of the jury, look, this is a clear violation of the law. And when we as jurors see the government violating law, violating the double jeopardy prevention and prohibition here in the Fifth Amendment, we should set this person free. This person should not be tried again, even if it's a different jurisdiction, even if it's a different level, criminal instead of civil or civil instead of criminal. No, we shouldn't permit the government to go ahead and abuse our fellow citizens. And I think of what Jesus instructed all of us in what's known as the Golden Rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And when we serve on a juror, I've told jurors that I believe that's the Golden Rule for jurors as well. We ought to put ourselves in that other person's shoes and think, what would be just? What would I want as justice done to me and for me if I was in the shoes of the person who the government is accusing here of having committed a crime? And so I believe juries have enormous power, power that they rarely exercise and often don't understand, because it's one of the best-kept secrets in America that the jury judges the law as well as judging the fact, and judges the process of the judicial system and what the police have done, judges the whole system to see if justice is being done, and if justice is not being done to our neighbor by the police, by the judges or magistrates, and by the entire system, if justice is not being done by any of those people, then it is up to us, the jury, to see that justice is done to our neighbor. And the jury has that enormous power to acquit those who, in spite of the facts, in spite of what the government wants to be done, know that injustice is being done to their fellow citizen, and they will not tolerate it because they follow the Golden Rule of Jesus Christ for their neighbor in the judicial system. So we should never permit double jeopardy wherever we can. We should never permit it to take place. And we ought to speak loudly and clearly to the law enforcement as well as to the judicial system that we will not tolerate their continuing abuse of this element of our Constitution. They must abide by the Constitution, for if they do not, they are domestic enemies, and we are to fight against them and remove them from their position of power and authority. Now, the third element of our Fifth Amendment protections is no compulsory self-incrimination. And this is the famous phrase people say, I plead the Fifth. Well, they're referring to the Fifth Amendment, and they're referring to this element of the Fifth Amendment, that no compulsory self-incrimination should ever be allowed or forced upon anyone who's accused of having committed a crime. That is, you cannot be coerced to testify against yourself. Why? Well, our founders clearly understood that if you allow the government to coerce anyone into testifying against themselves, what this will lead to ultimately is torture. You will be tortured to the point at which you ultimately say whatever it is the government wants you to say. And obviously such a confession is worthless, because you're just confessing to whatever they want you to confess to stop the torture. It's not honest confession at all. It's more likely to be false rather than true, which, again, brings us to the whole question of why in the world our military is so benighted, backwards, and barbaric these days to use torture. if torture doesn't get a good result in the judicial system in our land and it's prohibited, why should we expect that you're going to get the truth out of anybody by torturing them, even if they're an enemy on the battlefield? This is a ridiculous idea.
But David, isn't this really the provision of the Fifth really having more to do with the court system? You cannot be in court required to take the stand. You can't be required to get on the stand and under oath ask specific questions, or you might incriminate yourself. And that's what
exactly
people usually consider the Fifth Amendment.
Yes, and the Fifth Amendment not only encountenances what takes place in court, but I believe in police questioning. That is, if police have arrested you and they say, we're going to question you, and you say, well, I'm not going to say anything. You don't have to say anything at all to the police. In fact, I've heard of several attorneys teach people that the less you say or say nothing at all, that's your best defense, is to say nothing whatsoever. Because, again, they're going to take, if they do read your Miranda rights, which I understand someone was telling me, recent decisions by the Supreme Court basically say they don't have to read the Miranda any longer and so on. But if you say anything to the police, they can, and they will use it against you in the court of law. Most famous case in the history of the world of a person understanding his, well, it wasn't Fifth Amendment rights because the Fifth Amendment didn't exist then, but understanding his God-given rights to not be forced to testify against himself is our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the Sanhedrin, they were trying to force him to say certain things, and he refused. He stood silent, and they hit him on the face because he was silent and so on. And then before Pilate, likewise, he was silent. Pilate said, don't you know that I have the power to take your life or save your life? And Jesus did not have to answer him anything. Why? He understood his God-given right to remain silent, that no compulsory self-incrimination in any part of the judicial process, whether it's at the point of arrest or whether it's the, you know, imprisonment or whether it's actually on trial, you are not forced and must not be forced to confess anything or to state anything that might incriminate you. And this is a biblical principle because it would violate our God-given human dignity by forcing a person to cooperate in his own self-destruction. And therefore, it is against God's law, against the principles of God's word. So courts have ruled in the past that any custodial interrogation can be inherently coercive, just the fact that they put you in custody, arrested you, and therefore they, and this is the case, the famous case of Miranda, they must read these Miranda rights to ask the suspect if he would choose to waive his Fifth Amendment rights, and so that his confession then would not be forced, it would be voluntary. And so you know, the famous Miranda rights being read, and as I mentioned, I believe the recent decisions of the Supreme Court have weakened that considerably, and I had a police friend who told me that in his training, they found ways in which they could get around the Miranda rights. Without reading Miranda to you, they could actually do a few things that could allow you to kind of, you know, encourage you to talk. So that policeman was basically telling me that, yes, you're under investigation as soon as they've approached you, and anything you say is going to be used against you if they can. Now, so no compulsory self-incrimination is the third element of our Fifth Amendment rights secured by the Fifth Amendment. The fourth element of that is that you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And this means a process of fundamental fairness. This means a jury trial. In our founders' understanding of what a due process involved, a jury trial for both criminal and civil cases. We'll see that when we get to the Sixth and then the Seventh Amendment and so on. But that due process meant that the government just didn't decide, you're guilty, and we're going to throw you in prison, or we're going to take your property from you. No, it had to be a panel of jurors, fellow jurors or fellow citizens who served on a jury, evaluated, first of all, the law to determine if the law was legitimate. Was it a constitutional law in accordance with the laws of the land or not? Then secondly, if that law was a legitimate law, was it being applied against you as a citizen properly? That is, did the court actually have jurisdiction in this case? Was there misuse and abuse by the government of your rights as a citizen that might cause you as the jury to say, well, yeah, there's some facts against this person here, but what the government has done in violation of this person's rights means we ought to punish the government instead of punishing our fellow citizen. Those are all the powers that a jury has that they'll never be told, Dr. Stan, in most courtrooms in our land, because the judicial system wants to bury the powers of the jury and then accomplish whatever they deem to be just. And I dare say that when you have trial by government, that is, when the government is in complete control of every element of the trial, you are very unlikely to have justice. You're far more likely to have justice when your fellow citizens and a panel as a jury look at the facts and evaluate them and put themselves in your shoes as best they can and determine guilt or innocence in that regard. So it's very important when any of us serve on a jury that we do so with an understanding of all elements of the Constitution and that we guard against the government abuse of their powers, the police powers and the judicial powers. We see that due process takes place. Now, it's interesting to see what's happened in our country, because this principle that you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, and that you're innocent until proven guilty in a court of law, is no longer followed in certain avenues of law. Consider tax law, for example. The whole IRS, they consider you guilty until proven innocent, so they can go take your property from you, or maybe even take your liberty and imprison you, having no evidence by court of law that you've actually violated the law. Instead, they just have their suspicion or their snitch has said you've done something, and go and take your life. Oh, not your life, but your
liberty. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
We're talking today with Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb. Tom, what makes The Green Herb different?
First is our health analysis. I know of no other company that will take the time necessary to suggest an in-depth herbal program especially for you. And we do it at no charge or obligation. Also, we manufacture all of our products right in the Wheat Ridge facilities. This way we can assure you that you're getting the highest quality products available. Last is our guarantee. If you don't think our products are the finest, most potent herbal products available, just return the bottle and we'll exchange it or refund your purchase price. We can do the analysis at The Green Herb, over the phone, or online at www.thegreenherb.com. Call today and set an appointment for your free health profile at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or come by our store on the north side of I-70 Frontage Road, 1 mile west of Kipling.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way, the only way they know how.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, I guess this morning, Pastor David Whitney. And David, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners about the Institute on the Constitution, how they can get in touch with you, how they can take a free course on the Constitution on the Internet. I guess it's not free. There is a charge for taking it. But then how they can, of course, get a packet, and how they can begin teaching the Constitution in their own community.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, we recognize that one of the reasons why our republic is in such terrible disrepair is most citizens have never studied the Constitution of the United States. To remedy that, we've put together a course, and as you mentioned, it's now online. If people go to our website, iotconline.com, that website, again, for Institute on the Constitution is the letters IOTC online, the word online all together, IOTConline.com. There they can sign up and take our U.S. Constitution course. The charge is $30, and you get 12 hours of lecture and interaction online to view, as well as you download all the student materials, the student notebook, and test questions, supplemental reading materials, and the homework assignments. The full 12-week course is yours through that process, and we encourage people to do that. That's a simple way that they themselves, on their own, can study the Constitution, get an understanding of what our founders' view of law and government was, what they meant by every word they uttered and wrote down in the Declaration, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. And then beyond that, we encourage people to go ahead and get a host kit, which is a DVD-based series where they can conduct a class. Having taken the course themselves, we tell them they are qualified. They are better qualified to communicate the truths of our founders than most law professors in most law schools, because they're all teaching the evolutionary view of the Constitution, not our founders' view of the Constitution, which is why we're in such a mess in so many ways in our country. To get a host kit and conduct a class, I graduated a class just this last month in Springfield, Ohio, the third class I've graduated there in about 3 months, and there's over 300 people that have come through those classes, and we just see that kind of multiplication. And I graduated that class, there's four people who got host kits and said, we're going to conduct a class this summer. I know summer's a difficult time sometimes because of people's travel schedules and all, but they said, we've got to do this. We know this election coming up is so critical. We have got to train our fellow citizens in this area on these truths. So they got host kits and are starting classes there, and they're all over the country, Dr. Stan. One of the things that you won't be told in the media is there's a movement beyond just the Tea Party, where people are upset, people are angry, people are talking to their elected representatives, and that's good as far as it goes. But until we know the standard which we have to hold our elected representatives accountable to, until we know that standard ourselves, we cannot accomplish the restoration of our republic. So we're encouraged that many of the people in the Tea Party movement have said, I need to study the Constitution. They've come to us, and we've got them equipped and going on their way of reaching their fellow Tea Partiers with the truths of what our founders really designed in this constitutional republic. Also, we offer a course there on the jury, some of the things I was just mentioning here about the importance of the jury. That course will be completed this Thursday evening, and so all of those six lectures will be up, and the course materials, homework, reading, all that will be available as well. That course is $30 as well. So those are two courses that are immediately available online. We have one state constitution course, a Maryland state constitution, the only one currently. We have friends around the country starting work on their state constitution courses, which we believe is an important next step, that beyond just the U.S. Constitution, we need to understand our state constitution so we can hold our state elected officials accountable to the standard that they take an oath, and that oath is before Almighty God, an oath before Almighty God to uphold. And so, well, at Institute on the Constitution, we're busy getting the word out, and we need the help of grassroots people across the country to take into their community a teaching method, a teaching system where they can teach their fellow citizens what our true constitutional republic was designed to be. And that, Dr. Stan, is the first step. It's certainly not the last step, but that's the first step in restoring our republic. Until that happens, we cannot talk about putting people in Congress who really follow the Constitution, because they know they can get away with it as long as the people electing them won't hold them accountable to the standard. And they'll just say, well, if you're a little less liberal than the other guy, I'll vote for you, is often the response that the American citizens are given. We got to say, no, it doesn't matter if liberal or conservative. It's a matter of constitutional. Do you know the Constitution? Are you going to abide by the Constitution? I had a friend of mine ask my current congressman, who's unconstitutional, just asked him in a town hall meeting when he was running for office, sir, could you tell me what the 10th Amendment says? He couldn't answer the question. He said, well, let me get your email. I'll email you the answer. And he never emailed him the answer. But it just demonstrated that the man was more ignorant of the Constitution than my friend, who was just simply asking him a question. Even if he couldn't quote the 10th Amendment, if he could even summarize or paraphrase what the 10th Amendment meant, it might give some hope at all. Hey, this guy understands the Constitution. And of course, he's running for re-election this November, and we pray that he could be replaced with someone that we have trained, an actual elected official in our state who has studied the Constitution with us in our class and is running for Congress. So those are encouraging things that even in a very, very liberal state like Maryland, we've been able to train a number of elected officials on the state level in the U.S. Constitution who are desiring to see that law followed and abided by.
Well, going back to what you're doing is wonderful, and really what is so exciting really is that all across America, for the first time, we've been at this for pretty close to 10 years, 9 to 10 years now, along with Michael Perutka and Pastor David Whitney, but people are beginning to wake up. They know something seriously wrong. They want to learn the Constitution, and there is a movement sweeping across America, and you'll never hear this mentioned by the controlled media. The last thing they want is for us to return to the foundations of this country that once made America the envy of the world. Go right ahead, David.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, going back to the Fifth Amendment guarantees that you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. One element of that, and one element very specifically stated in the Fifth Amendment, is you cannot have your private property taken for public use without just compensation. Oh, this is a principle that has been violated by our federal government and now by state and local municipalities, and the Supreme Court in their awful, wretched, unconstitutional decision, Kelo v. New London, that case in the city of New London where people lived along the waterway there, waterfront property, wasn't really fancy houses or anything like that, just kind of plain middle-class housing and so forth. And the city of New London wanted to increase their jobs and increase their revenue is really what it came down to. They wanted more tax dollars, and so they enticed the drug company Pfizer to build a big complex there. And Pfizer looked at the land and said, yeah, we'll do this deal, but all those houses there, we don't want to look at that shabby-looking housing. Just get rid of all those houses, and we'll go ahead with the deal. And so the city of New London condemned the housing of your average citizen and took it, gave them, of course, as soon as, one of the things you need to understand, as soon as the government condemns any piece of property, the value of that property goes right through the floor. Whatever it was before the condemnation is no reflection of what it will be after the condemnation, and the government always pays the lower price for that property. They never pay the full market value of what it was worth before they condemned it. And
hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. The American Freedom Network.
For the finest in home security, you want Fine Line Security, a family-owned business. They install, service, and repair any CCTV system, including DVRs. Free estimates are available. Free security evaluations, including existing systems, emergency repairs, and loaner equipment. Call Scott at 303-550-8202. They also have lease options available for CCTV security. Always professional, neat, and excellent workmanship. Home automation wireless solution for doors and driveways also available. 303-550-8202. Fine Line Security.
Community Connections is proud to announce their 2010 Summer Baseball Camp, June 28th through July the 2nd, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Sandstone Park, 3001 East Highway 119, Longmont. Ages 5 through 14 years old, boys and girls both welcome. For pre-registration or information, call 303-702-0588. Ask for Israel Victor, Camp Director. That's 303-702-0588. Community Connections 2010 Summer Baseball Camp.
Zabel Construction is a family-owned and operated business. They're able to handle the big jobs and the small ones, from additions and remodels to decks and drywall. Over 45 years of combined experience, they're reliable and trustworthy. For a free estimate, email them at zabelconstruction@hotmail.com. That's Z-A-B-E-L construction at hotmail.com, or call Mark at 303-579-5325. Licensed and insured, Zabel Construction.
Tax problems, IRS notices, credit card debt? Get professional help from local attorney Chelsea Victor at 303-702-0591. The Law Office of Chelsea Victor provides affordable, compassionate, and professional representation. Call today for a free initial consultation. The Law Office of Chelsea Victor, redefining legal representation one client at a time. That's 303-702-0591, 303-702-0591.
Stan back here at the American Freedom Network. The guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney. David, go right ahead.
So that incident there in the city of New London, where they took the people's property by condemnation, eminent domain, and they were going to turn it over to a developer who would create nicer housing or whatever you'd like to call that would yield a higher revenue to the city of New London. In other words, they weren't taking it because they needed to build a road, or they need to put up a school, which, in my view, is a rather questionable use of eminent domain. A road is about the only thing I think you could excuse eminent domain for. But one of the persons whose property was condemned, Kilo, refused and took it all the way to the Supreme Court. And sad to say, the Supreme Court made the wrong decision. They basically said a municipality or any level of government can take your property for whatever use they want to, as long as that government deems it in the public interest. Wait a minute. We've just given the fox the guarding of the hen house. You shouldn't allow government ever to determine the limits of its power. No, that's a huge, huge mistake. And Kilo v. New London is actually may work out to be in our advantage, because there's been backlashes all over the country. States have basically passed legislation that not in our state, we won't permit a Kilo type of decision to happen. And it's interesting to see the city of New London, I think, has gotten some just desserts as a result of their wicked theft of property. And that's what I call eminent domain, when it is done in a way that is unjust and has nothing to do with true public well-being. They have actually had Pfizer pull out on the whole project, maybe because the Kilo case dragged on and they weren't getting what they wanted. And so Pfizer pulled out of the project altogether, and the city wound up bulldozing all of those houses, and now that land sits vacant, and not one tax dollar is paid in property tax to the city of New London on the properties that they condemned in order to gain more tax revenue. So the city of New London has suffered justly, I believe, and I pray that the wicked people who made those eminent domain decisions have been put out of office, and others who would protect the God-given right to property are in office. I think of other egregious examples here in the city of Baltimore. Many abuses of the powers of eminent domain have basically told the people who owned property within the city limits of Baltimore, your property is not safe from a wicked, corrupt government, elected officials who will steal your property for whatever reason they want. And what it has meant is you see the population of the city of Baltimore, the people have been fleeing for years. They have been fleeing to the suburbs because they know, my property is not secure in the city limits of Baltimore. And Baltimore still is so dumb, the politicians haven't woken up, probably because eminent domain gives them increased powers, even if it does mean the flight of people out of their city. So eminent domain is a very, very dangerous thing that should only be permitted in extremely rare situations. And when it's done, that taking of the private property must be with just compensation according to our Fifth Amendment, which means the government must pay the fair market value of that land before it was condemned by the government or before there was any hint that it might even possibly be condemned. They need to go back historically and say this is what it was worth before we even began debating the idea of condemning these properties, and we will pay them full market value. And that is another way in which you'd slow down government taking of people's property. But one of the other questions that comes into this whole debate is, what is a taking? That is, if the government doesn't come and actually condemn your property, take it from you, evict you off of the land, what if the government doesn't take title to your property but says, well, you can't do this activity on your property, or you can't build this kind of structure on your property, or you cannot conduct business? This has to be a residential property. You can't conduct any business on your property, or you can't have too many cars parked in. You know, all kinds of zoning regulations fall into, well, at what point is there a line somewhere that gets crossed where the government hasn't taken your property, but they've effectively rendered any use you would want to use your property for? They've told you you can't do that. I think, in my opinion, and others might disagree with me, but in my opinion, that's another form of taking property without just compensation. I know that there's a law I've studied here in the state of Maryland that is ridiculous, because it basically says if you can do anything at all on the property, then whatever regulations the government imposes upon you on your property are not an unjust taking of that property. What? They say you can't do anything on the property except leave it vacant. That is, you know, have woods or a field there, and you can't build anything on the property. You can't park cars on the property. You can do nothing with the property except leave it in its native state. The government of our state would say, well, that's not a taking of your property. I believe it is, because it's saying you can't use it for anything. You can't farm on it. You can't build on it. You can't do anything with it, but we haven't taken your property. That's a wicked, thieving and unjust government that should be put out of office, and such laws, unjust laws, should be abolished, because as the Fifth Amendment says, when the government comes along and says, we're going to take your property, they have to have a very, very important public purpose for doing so, and they must make just compensation to you for the taking of the property, and they must not find other means of taking that property, such as zoning and so forth, that would prohibit you from actually using your property. Now, I know this really steps on some toes, because when you begin to talk to people in communities, it's like, well, I don't want my neighbor here running a car repair business in his front yard. And you ask, well, why? Well, that's going to lower my property value. And I have a right to my property value. Well, yes, you do. But your right to your property value does not extend to your right to control your neighbor. And I'm of the opinion, and I know there's people who disagree with me strongly, that almost all zoning is a form of government theft, form of government stealing your property by controlling what you can and cannot do on your own property. I was making some repairs to my property, and a neighbor said to me, do you realize you got to get a permit to do that? Well, excuse me? I have to get a permit to repair the property that if I didn't repair it would fall down and fall to the ground? I can let it fall to the ground, and the government has no problem with that. But they're going to come in and regulate what I do to repair my own property? What kind of government is this? It's obviously not a government that has my best interest at heart. It's obviously a government that wants to get as much tax money out of me by fees and licenses and so on and so forth. What kind of government is this? I thought our purpose for government, if we go back to our founders, very plainly laid out, there is a Creator God. Our rights come from that Creator God alone. And the sole purpose of government, you can underline that, sole purpose of government is this, to secure and to protect your God-given rights. And they went on to say that the first of those is your right to life and then right to liberty.
Well, we're out of time, David. God bless. We'll talk to you later. Talk to you next time.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stan.
People of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
The Brush Housing Authority in Brush reminds listeners to spend more time with an elderly member of our community. What better way to show you care than to remember a family member, friend, or neighbor? Checking on their welfare, making a phone call, or a simple visit can make all the difference in the quality of their life. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's the Brush Housing Authority. For more information on programs, call 970-482-5046, 970-482-5046.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Well, Dan, back here. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with David. But the Constitution is foundational to preservation of our freedom, which is under attack by this invisible government, these people belonging to secret societies, which are intent upon one world government. But the only way to understand this is to understand that has been the goal of Lucifer since the time of Nimrod, to unite the world under his control. God intervened 5,000 years ago. I don't know that he's going to intervene this time. It seems that the people have become so corrupt, and America has become corrupt, and we've allowed it to happen, and our churches have not spoken out. And if there is not a great revival in America, if our people don't return to God, why, we're going to see God's justice coming to this nation. I attended a conference this weekend. It was a conspiracy conference. They had a telephone link up to Spain, where the Bilderbergers are meeting now, one of these internationalist groups made up of the people of great wealth who rule the world from behind the scenes. There were two interesting things that they apparently were talking about. How they're able to get information out of this secret meeting, I don't know, but one of them is the coming war with Iran. The other is the collapse of the European monetary system. Well, of course, as that happens, it means that the value of their currency will fall. As that happens, their goods will be much more competitive in the world market, which will have a real impact, certainly upon China, but it will also have an impact on the United States, because our products, because our currency is increasing in value and going up because of the world financial crisis. Why, of course, people are turning, looking for security, turning to the dollar. Why they think the dollar is secure, I don't know, but they do. The dollar is going up in value means that our products will be much more expensive, which means that, of course, our export market, our ability to export will be falling, and more people here will lose their jobs. And we've said about this is circle and a cycle, and, of course, we're moving into economic certainly destruction and eventually chaos and crisis in this country as more and more people lose their jobs. The government, of course, then begins to print more money so that they can pay unemployment benefits, and by so doing, they progressively destroy the value of our currency and the whole foundation upon which this country is built. And there's no better way to destroy a nation than to destroy the integrity of the currency, and that is exactly what the wicked people in charge intend to do. Well, if you haven't heard my talk on the financial Armageddon, how they created the economic crisis, you need to get it. We have two talks, one on the financial tsunami we gave 4 or 5 years ago, comes with the seminar, pardon me, with the syllabus, and then we have the financial Armageddon, comes with the syllabus. You need to get that information to understand what's going on. And then the little book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, by Professor Sutton. They're available by calling 1-800- 544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know how they're destroying the lives of your children and your grandchildren, well, you need to get my latest talk, The Specter Haunting America, because it goes into the background of vaccines. Are they effective? Yes, they are effective. Don't let anybody tell you they're not effective. As a whole, they are effective, but at what price, and what is it going to cost you and those children whose minds are progressively destroyed by the various metals that they put into the vaccines, and they tell you that there are no problems, and yet, of course, if you look at communities that do not vaccinate their children, they don't see the allergy, the asthma, the neurodevelopmental abnormalities, the autism. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Tax problems, IRS notices, credit card debt? Get professional help from local attorney Chelsea Victor at 303-702-0591. The law office of Chelsea Victor provides affordable, compassionate, and professional representation. Call today for a free initial consultation. The law office of Chelsea Victor, redefining legal representation one client at a time. That's 303-702-0591, 303-702-0591.